Today on Seculo, breaking news as Joe Biden is forced to speak out on college protest.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your calls on this too, 1-800-684-3110. When you have riots going on across the country on college campuses supporting a terrorist organization and also intimidating, even using violence against another group of students because they happen to be Jewish or supporters of Israel. And again, these aren't just people that are protesting. That's legal in the United States, and even some civil disobedience. Legal is not legal in the United States, but we kind of support this idea. Taking over buildings, threatening people's lives, we don't. So we've seen how riot police have had to go in, but the White House was completely ignoring that this was happening across the country until this morning, when finally, because of political pressure from both Republicans and Democrats who had been to New York, who had walked through the riots and said, this is real, this is happening, you've got to speak out. Well, President Biden this morning, if you didn't catch it, finally did speak out. Now, we'll break it down for you throughout the next segment, too, because there were some problematic parts of the statement. But let me just play a little bit of it for you right now. This is President Biden this morning finally addressing what is going on these college campuses in support of Hamas and intimidating Jews and supporters of Israel.
Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. And moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is.
Okay, I mean, that is true. So he is saying that, you know, we're not going to protect violent protests.
That's the right words.
Those were the right words. When we get into it later, though, he kind of confuses, like, who are the problem actors here? You don't have to blame conservatives for this protest. You don't have to blame others. The problem actors are those who hate Jews, hate the state of Israel, and have bizarrely, Logan, chosen October 7th, that attack by Hamas, which was so just disturbing and even somewhat worse than what ISIS has done, to use that as a jumping off point to get to the streets to try and gather support for Hamas and the Palestinian state. And it seems like this is going to start backfiring on that movement.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it took 9 days for President Biden to speak out about this as it kind of escalated. Honestly, he's speaking out now when it's maybe starting to de-escalate a little bit, when you have the NYPD already going in and taking care of business. But I've said this before, Jordan, I've said it this week too a lot, which is now it has moved also from just what you would consider anti-Semitic to also clearly, you know, they use the word Zionist, because now that also means what? Most evangelical Christians. So you're talking about not just people of the Jewish faith or people of Jewish background or Israelis. Now we're also looping in anyone who potentially could support Israel, the existence of Israel, just the existence of Israel, which is probably likely you who are watching right now.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this too, 1-800-684-3110. You know, college campuses always have kind of wild protests. But what we're seeing now is something different in our own country. And that is protest in support of terrorist organizations, in support of groups that murder children. I mean, you could be anti-Israel and have your protest, and it doesn't rise to this level. And it wouldn't get this kind of attention. You could be pro-Israel and radically pro-Israel to a point where you might not even agree with, and it wouldn't rise to this level of attention. But the fact that the United States of America, we have some college students and a lot of paid professionals, let's be honest, we need to get to the bottom of who that is, paying for these people to be there. But that they are supporting terrorists on the, you know, top universities in the United States of America. There's more to talk about there. We want to answer your questions and take your comments as well. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we've also got that prayer guide as well this National Day of Prayer.
It is the National Day of Prayer. We'll talk about that more. And you can always get the ACLJ prayer guide, which comes out quarterly. So the one that just launched a few weeks ago. Go to aclj.org/prayer. Scan the QR code on your screen. We'll be right back.
to Secula. We are going to take your calls, too, on finally President Biden speaking out against these protests, which are no longer protests anymore. These are violent uprisings on these college campuses.
And I think we have a map still, right? We have a map.
Because it's not over.
Yeah, there they are right now. If you're watching online, by the way, if you're just listening, you need to be watching. You can watch us on all your favorite YouTube, Rumble, ACLJ.org, Facebook, we're broadcasting on all those places. But you can see where the encampment still exists. It is not small. It is still happening around the country.
Yeah, I mean, so this is still, some of these haven't gone to the level of violence, like what we saw at Columbia or what we've even seen at the University of Texas, but it's still going at the University of Texas. It's, you know, they're fighting back. These people aren't fighting back with police. So not only are the protest movements not done, which are more protected under the First Amendment, but this violence that we have seen, which is not a protest movement, but instead it is violence and it's crime, criminal conduct. It's like Logan said, this is not over. It's happening in 25 states as of right now in many different colleges. So not just 25 colleges, 25 states, and then a bunch of colleges within. And even on that map, they hadn't shown Vanderbilt University. It's smaller. It's like a 12-person encampment, but it's there right now. Now, maybe that's going to be moved away soon because it's not as hard to do. On top of that, though, remember I told you that when President Biden spoke about this, that first line that we played in the first segment was pretty strong. You know, there's a difference. We support the freedom of speech and peaceful protest in the United States, even if you don't like the position. And that's certainly our position at the ACLJ, because oftentimes the position that our supporters and that you support may not be the position that the majority of the country or the media elite supports. So we obviously fight for your right to peacefully protest. But then when you move to violence and hate and start aligning yourself with terrorist groups, why does he in this next part of the statement have to lump in something that's bad but isn't part of this issue that we're dealing with right now in the country at all? And I think it's to appease his liberal base that he's not being just hard on Muslims or Palestinians. Take a listen to this one.
There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. People have the right to get an education, the right to get a degree, the right to walk across the campus safely without fear of being attacked. But let's be clear about this as well. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong. There's no place for racism in America.
Okay. I mean, I think that's a wonderful idea. There's no place for racism in America. But I want to go to Harry Hutchins on this because, Harry, nothing about these riots that I've seen is Islamophobic or had anything to do with Islamophobia. It didn't have to do with discriminating against Arabs or Arab students or Palestinian Americans. In fact, they decided they were going to protest and call for the destruction of a people group from the river to the sea, destroy the Jewish state of Israel, destroy the Jews, and attack the Jews who are here. And by the way, this didn't stem from some kind of Islamophobic statement or movement. This stemmed from an attack by Hamas on October 7th, which was horrific. So Joe Biden didn't have to say that. Like, there's a bunch of anti-Muslim leaders out there that are, you know, causing them to do this. They are making this decision on their own voluntarily. And a lot of these protesters aren't even Muslims. They're just radical leftists.
Absolutely. And many of these individuals are led by paid leaders who are intent on fomenting violence like a firestorm throughout the United States. So if you look at President Biden's statement, it's important to note that he finally issued a statement condemning violent protests throughout the United States. That's good. He issued a statement arguing that the United States should protect our rights of freedom of speech. But there is, in many instances, if you look at the speech carefully, an argument that he is arguing for moral equivalence between what is happening to Jewish Americans and Jewish students, and then comparing that to what is happening to Muslim and Arab students, which is clearly a false equivalence that most people can see through. And I think we should reject it.
Yeah, I think we should go ahead, actually, speaking of which, take a phone call.
Absolutely.
We have Catherine's calling in California on line one. Catherine, go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I called in just because I'm so upset. Monday morning, I sat at the bottom of Jan's stairs at UCLA, and the security guard there kept telling anyone that wanted to go up those stairs not to go up there because they will be violent. So there was, from the very beginning, nothing peaceful about that campment at UCLA. I am a parent that works two jobs to pay for an education for my daughter there, and I walked her to class yesterday because I was scared. She was scared just to have to turn around and go back home. They're taking away my daughter's right to an education that I'm working hard to pay for, and I'm just so upset. And I don't know. I've already called my congressperson, but I don't know. Is there any kind of
recourse to kind of take, yeah, like
illegal?
Listen, I mean, what could happen is ultimately these schools could request the governor send a National Guard. You could go, I guess, a level below that would be SWAT and riot police from like LAPD preparing a way to disperse the crowd if it's an encampment and that kind of thing. We saw that in Columbia, but oftentimes the school has to request it because of the liability. Listen, that means that there, if you punch back at police and things like that, it can get violent very quickly.
Yes.
We saw some of that at Columbia, though not to great extremes, but we saw some real violence.
Yeah, by the end of it, it was more just dragging people away. I felt like the police just having to deal with maybe kicking and screaming kids, not necessarily dealing with physical violence.
Here's what's, do we still have Catherine on the line? Because Catherine, I mean, I just almost wanted you to be able to explain. You are in an area, UCLA, for people that might know, one, it's a great, great school. It's one of the best schools in the country. But it's also in one of the nicest areas of Los Angeles, I mean, in Westwood. This is, again, so it's not like this has happened in some remote college campus or some bad part of town, Catherine. This is again, you're working two jobs to send your daughter to an excellent school that's located in one of the most expensive areas in the country.
Yes, and I sat on Monday and I watched adults covered from head to toe. You can only see their eyes with their wagons full of stuff heading up to the encampment. These were not people that were students. I can assure you that.
Catherine, I want to encourage you and anyone who's listening who's maybe dealing with this, whether it's a student or whether you are the student, whether you're the parent, you're the person paying for that education, go to aclj.org/help, fill out the form there, because maybe there is something we can do about this from a legal point of view, and I want to make sure that all of you have representation if necessary. Again, we do that at absolutely no cost because of the support of our ACLJ donors and our ACLJ champions. So if you could, Catherine, encourage, again, anyone else who is listening as well, go to aclj.org/help. There may be a way, if you are directly involved in this, like I said, whether you're the student, whether you're a parent of the student, the person paying for it, go to aclj.org/help, fill out that form.
Especially if you're paying for something your student isn't getting right now, which is the education at UCLA, or maybe, you know, not being able to take their final exams. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's disrupting their life, Harry, and yet I bet those bills are still going out.
Absolutely, and many students are unable to attend graduation ceremonies, and in addition, they have to listen to violent chants, such as the ones that were going on at Columbia University, where people were yelling, "Al-Qassam, you make us proud, take another soldier out, we say justice, you say how, burn Tel Aviv to the ground." That is arguably a violent chant. It is not peaceful. It is not order. But in addition to that, you have intimidation, which is coming from many of the demonstrators blocking students from attending class, particularly Jewish students. And this evokes the history of 1939 in Germany and Poland.
Yeah, I mean, when you're saying things like burn a Tel Aviv to the ground, I mean, this is, again, that's not just destruction of property is not what they're talking about.
No, you're calling
They're talking about the elimination of Jews.
Right, exactly.
At least elimination of Jews in Israel, which is the Jewish state is there because of this.
Yep.
I mean, this is why the Jewish state exists, is because it in moments in history when it becomes unsafe to be a Jew in a different country, that you have to go to a country that is majority Jewish. I mean, almost they're proving the point of why Israel must exist and why we must stand with Israel, because there's got to be a place where people with Jewish backgrounds or the Jewish faith can go and feel like they will be protected as much as possible because their home country has turned on them. And right now, Logan, we need a lot of prayer because it feels like if you're a Jew in the United States, your country is turning on you.
Yeah, it definitely does. If you want to be a part of that, also, we encourage you to download the ACLJ Prayer Guide. Join us. It's a great directed way to pray for all of the, you know, kind of work we do and the issues that we fight for each and every day. It's a great directive guide. You can go to aclj.org/pray. Do that right now. It's absolutely free at no cost. Download that prayer guide. Right back with Cece Heil coming up.
We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. As Logan said, a reminder that if you've got students on these college campuses that are either being shut down or that people are being harmed, or they're saying, well, if you go this way, you know, we can't protect you, or you'll do your final exams sometime this summer and maybe online, and you feel like you're paying for something you're not getting, or that the school is doing something wrong, maybe not protecting your student the right way. You know, there are people thinking about this long-term, that there could be legal issues here that develop. You know, this right now, it's a live event. There's certainly going to be legal issues. People are being arrested. People have caused violence. But if you're someone who's got a student at one of these schools and they've been sent home, but you're still getting the same check or same bill, and they're not able to go to class, maybe the virtual learning didn't even kick in. I mean, it is very late in the year, so it was about to be final exams in most of these places. So were they even able to finish the year? Let us know at aclj.org/help. Now, you either need to be the student or the parent of the student is the best to contact us. And we'll look at what is happening that you're reporting to us and think about what legal options there may be. And you don't always start, with a lawsuit. Sometimes it starts just with a letter to a school that says, you can't do this. You can't put out alerts saying, don't go this way. Go that way, because those stairs we can't secure. You might get beaten up if you go up those stairs, because what if you didn't get the alert that morning? Who's responsible there? So if you feel like you've got that need, always contact us, aclj.org/help. There's no bad request. We will review all of them. And if we think we can help you, you're going to be contacted right away by an ACLJ attorney. And CC, this leads right into another issue that we have been able to handle within about 24 hours.
Yeah.
Another shocking one.
Right.
In Montana, an 8-year-old in school. Tell people about it.
Yeah. So it's rural Montana, which is an area that you wouldn't expect to hear this story. But there was an 8-year-old girl in first grade who took her pocket Bible to school. And she had that Bible confiscated by a teacher and told that she could not bring a Bible onto the school grounds, nor could she ever discuss the Lord or talk about God on school grounds. And then this teacher went even further and said if she did, she'd be severely punished by having to walk the fence line. And apparently that is the shameful punishment that they do in the school, to say, hey, look, this child has done something very bad. They're having to walk this fence line. And only because this little girl, 8 years old, dared to bring her Bible to school, which, by the way, is absolutely legal, is protected by the Constitution and other laws. And so when the parents filled out that form, they came to ACLJ, like you said, /help. And they filled out the form, and we were able to get involved, send a demand letter to the school, and within 24 hours, we got confirmation that, yes, she will absolutely be able to bring her Bible to school and express her faith, not only this little girl, but every student at that school.
Yeah, I just want you to understand, that's the work of the ACLJ in 24 hours, how quickly a school will change policies. But they were threatening this 8-year-old. I mean, my daughter is about to turn 8. So you think about, I know exactly this age group. a pocket Bible, okay? It's not like they're going to be religious scholars at this point, converting a lot of their classmates.
Yeah.
The fact that, again, that's the kind of book you're worried about, or the fact that she referenced God, and she was told, you can't talk about God? Yeah. I mean, as an 8-year-old? And then if you do, we're going to make you walk the fence, which obviously at that school, all the students would know it's like a big punishment for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, it feels like a big threat.
And this is what they do to a kid who brings a Bible. I have a feeling usually the 8-year-old who brings the Bible to school is not the kid who's walking a fence many times that year.
And here's what we know. We know that the answer was, okay, of course she's going to be able to bring the Bible. But we are going to keep digging into this, by the way, because who are these teachers that are saying this? Who are these faculty who feel like they can make these rules and say this, speak with some sort of ultimate authority? I feel like we have that, too, with a lot of teachers right now, which is speaking with an authority they do not have, of which they think they have for some reason, or they have been so poorly educated from sort of, I'd say, the atheist leftist agenda that they think that they're doing what they're supposed to do. Yeah. That's where we're finding out a lot of these teachers go, oh, I thought we weren't allowed to let our kids mention God or bring a Bible into school, because guess what? That's what the media's probably been portraying to you for the last 30 years, or however old this teacher may be.
Yeah, that's right. And that's where the ACLJ can step in quickly. And, you know, the Supreme Court has made it clear that you don't shed your rights when you walk through a schoolhouse door. And so we're able to tell them the law, to tell them that, look, we're ready to enforce this through legal measures if you do not comply. And so if you have situations like this, the ACLJ can help.
And I want to remind people, like I did before, this wasn't New York City. This wasn't a major, this is rural Montana. We're not going to name the place right now because we're not yet done either, because some of what the school responded. But Cece, this is that reminder to people that if they have a child or a grandchild or student that comes home, or it happens to an older student and you're listening to this and you feel like this, something like this happened to you, it's not right. You probably know it in your gut too. Like obviously she knew to tell, I mean, she's 8. She knew to tell her parents. You know, like you need to contact us. It's aclj.org/help.
Well, probably your kids go.
It doesn't cost you a thing.
No.
To ask for our help or guidance. And we're going to respond.
And it won't cost you a thing if we decide that it is a case that we have to take.
That's right.
Take or not take.
Even all the way to the Supreme Court, we never charge.
You're not going to pay a dollar for this. No. That is why we have supporters. That's why we have people who support the work of the ACLJ each and every day, each and every month, whether ACLJ champions or individual donors. We do that so we can offer people like this help. Because if you're in rural Montana, there's likely you're not going to be able to call a lot of law firms and get them to handle this. But you can with us because we do not charge. And I want to make sure that that is always clear, that when you fill out that form at aclj.org/help, you're then not going to get hit up to, pay out a big legal fee. It's just not how we roll.
Yeah. No, not at all. And I do want to also make it clear to anyone utilizing that system, it's actual attorneys reviewing it, and you're going to get an answer very quickly. And that's why in this situation, within 24 hours of knowing about it, we had handled it. We didn't have to go to court. Now, if we do have to go to court, and if we have to go all the way, as Cece said, to the U.S. Supreme Court, we will. And it will never cost you a thing. If you believe that something's happened to you and you want to fight back and you want the best attorneys possible for you to fight back, the experts in these areas, that's when you contact us at aclj.org/help. But Logan, I think it also ties into this idea of evil that we've seen both large scale with protesters, college kids who aren't even, don't even know much about the Middle East, suddenly supporting a terror group like Hamas. I mean, it's not even about Palestinians. Now it's about Hamas and calling on Al-Qassam brigades to kill people and burn down Tel Aviv. That evil is just the same as the telling the 8-year-old in rural Montana that don't you ever talk about God, little girl. Take that Bible out. Don't ever bring your Bible again, or else you'll be punished in a mocking public way. You'll be walking the fence like the bad kids.
Yeah, absolutely. It's full indoctrination from an evil point of view that, look, you can kind of combine it all into one thing. That's the one outlier, is this attack on people for their beliefs or for just having a way of life for some reason that this group of people can't get behind, whether you're Jewish, whether you're a Christian, whether you're carrying a Bible, whatever it is. This has become that is the clear enemy right now, and it's the enemy in the media, too. They're saying, oh, look at this. Depending on what side of the aisle you're looking at it, whether you end up becoming somebody who is for taking a Bible away from an 8-year-old, And of course, that means you also have to be against an existence of a Jewish state. All of it kind of combines into one. We got a second half hour coming up. Go to ACLJ.org if we don't get it on your station.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we have seen the violence on college campuses. It's happening live right now in Portland, Oregon. Battles with, you know, street battles with police, with people making a makeshift, I guess you'd call them what, battle shields?
From the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They have, you know, they've made their own riot shields out of trash cans, plastic trash cans,
with
and
the
painted
Palestinian
them.
Flag on
I
them.
Mean, it looks so silly in some ways. I don't mean to downplay it at all, but when you see a bunch of people running with bike helmets and trash cans and, of course, masks, it just looks comical. And then you have, I do have to say, a very fun moment for me is the fact that there is a police force now that feels emboldened to be able to actually act, which they feel like they haven't been able to in years. I feel like the NYPD actually stepped up. And because the NYPD stepped up, now all these police forces around the country are going, oh yeah, now we're allowed to do our job again.
Yeah, because they're attacking other, these are people that are attacking other people or even attacking the police. And once you start attacking the police can hit back pretty hard. Or as hard as they'd like. And in this situation, I feel like the American people also don't have that anti-police feel that was kind of, you know, permeating in the country because of, some of those years, the incidents that we had, these kind of racially motivated incidents. When people see these events, they say, no, this is why you need police.
Yeah.
This is what even you might need the National Guard, is so that, again, you can have a protest, peaceful protest, no problem. Civil disobedience, even to some level, doesn't have to rise to the level of violent civil disobedience. You're still going to get arrested. You're likely going to be charged with trespassing, and you might get convicted of something smaller. But when you are taking on violent protests,
I was gonna say, maybe you're also not chanting for death to America.
Right.
You know, maybe you're standing in front of an abortion clinic.
Right.
Maybe you're doing something that, again, there's civil.
You can't do that, by the way, because we have to appeal that case to the U.S.
Supreme
Court.
That case is happening right now.
You got to be 100 feet away of a bubble that keeps moving around people. So, again, what we're finally seeing is, like Logan said, maybe is a wake up that ultimately, you remember what we said about Israel? We said, you know, on October 7th, we said that first couple weeks, everyone will feel bad for Israel and they'll get more support than ever.
Out there saying, you know, the stars of David.
But once Israel responds, it will flip immediately. It did when we had, you know, the top Democrat in the Senate, Jewish himself, Chuck Schumer, calling for the Israeli leader to step down. Like, he need to be involved. We had our own president say the same thing. By the way, why do you think after those statements, what happened? What happened after Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer said that Netanyahu needed to go, or that maybe the response to October 7th was too strong? Which, how dare they, by the way, say that? Look at how the U.S. responds. We're attacked. We wipe out your entire country.
Yeah.
But Israel, now look what happened, Logan. It emboldened the protest didn't begin at this level of extreme level until the Bidens and Schumers of the world, not the Omars, the mainstream politicians of the world, started coming out and condemning the Jewish state, which they would have never done before. And then suddenly these rioters felt like, we're going to take it to the next level. We've got the support of the government.
Yeah, we've supported the government and maybe the support of the colleges that they were also protesting at. What you found out, though, is when you started saying, you know, what is their demands? In fact, they were taking demands from a bunch of protesters, ridiculous, was stuff like, oh, you have to divest from Israel. You had a lot of the educational body saying, that's not going to happen. And by the way, now let's call the cops. Now let's get rid of them, because now what they're doing is threatening our student body. Now they're threatening the end of the year. So thankfully, some of the colleges have taken the action they need to take when it comes to these violent, and some of the kids, by the way, whether that was the fraternity brothers who were holding up the flag or all those are the images that you like to see because you know there's at least some sense of reality in terms of this, instead of protesters who are also upset they're not getting food and water.
Oh, that was my favorite part. And then these aren't protesters. These are people who are, you know, revolutionaries taking over a building. So you want to illegally occupy a building, but you want to get
food,
free supplies
from your private university.
Give us pizza and water and all of that. You've got they need an aid corridor like they're at war. They chose They chose the violence, but they're still, you realize, ridiculous. And police can clear them if you give them the authority to do that. We'll be right back on Seculo. Take your calls. Seculo. President Trump has also addressed this, you know, as he's running for president, not just in trial all day, but he's also running for president, to make that clear. And he addressed this these riots as well. We hadn't yet had time to play it, but I did want to play it for you because it's very different. You know, where Joe Biden started off right, but then kind of got off course when he needed to start, you know, condemning Islamophobia, which is fine to do, but has nothing to do with these protests. There's no Islamophobia going on here. That's not what led to these protests. I mean, the bad actor was Hamas. They invaded Israel October 7th. They took hostages. They still have hostages. They killed children. They killed pregnant women. They broadcast it. Okay, it was the over 1,000 people killed in Israel, the most Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust. Then Israel responded to protect itself. And these protesters began. It was Hamas that began the violence, not Islamophobia. But yet he had to condemn that, right? And he had to condemn, you know, hate against Palestinians, which, by the way, even after October 7th, in the United States, that's not how we act. It's not how we acted after September 11th either, if people remember. There was a great concern there would be all this violence against Muslims, and there wasn't. Because Americans see other Americans as bigger than just what your background may be. But he had to throw that in there because they are so scared politically that they're going to lose the youth vote, which goes all the way up to about 30, 35 years old, is considered a young voter, if they look like they're too pro-Israel. So they're walking this very fine line, and these riots have really hurt their ability to stay silent because President Trump just came out and said it very directly. Take a listen.
And just so you understand, this is the radical left. This is a movement from the left, not from the right. The right is not your problem. Despite what, like, law enforcement likes to say, the FBI director said that he worries about the right. Now, don't worry about the right. The right's fine. Worry about the left.
I mean, you do think about that, Logan. We have seen, I've seen Christopher Wray say that so many times testifying, the FBI the director. Yeah. That it's right-wing violence that keeps him up at night, or the threat
domestic,
of it.
Domestic, violent
extremists.
Yeah, domestic violent extremists.
Which, by the way, these people are too.
Yeah, but they won't lump them into that.
No. That's your conservative, you know, right-wing style. And yes, you could point to January 6th, right, as this bad event. But what about the riots we saw from Antifa, the riots we saw when Black Lives Matter basically got overtaken by riots, and now the riots that we're seeing on these college campuses? As President Trump said, this all is based in the left.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are hardcore leftist movements that have gone violent.
And what's exposing, which is very interesting, because look, there was a moment here, maybe a couple months ago, maybe less than that, maybe a month ago. It's probably still happening, I'm sure, on X and on other platforms, where the conservative base that maybe has grown out of a post-Trump world was starting to fracture over Israel. You saw that happen in sort of the Daily Wire when they had sort of their break apart, where there was this growing push away from support of Israel. And then, look, it got me concerned because they go, okay, well, if we lose that base, if we lose the conservatives also, well, then who's going to be left for Israel? I do like the President Trump and some of these, and just seeing the visual of this, seeing who it is protesting, has started to bring it back into reality for people that the real fight that's happening on the streets is beyond whether you agree with the government in Israel, whether you agree with how they're treating people. It honestly is a purely leftist, racist moment that is happening. Not only racist, it is against Christians, it's against Jews, it's against anyone that doesn't fall in line with their own really incredibly ignorant rhetoric and narrative that doesn't make any sense on paper. That the far left would be in support of Hamas or be in support of the laws that are put place in the Palestinian state, even if it was not run by Hamas. Because we've all, those of us who have been there.
LGBT for Hamas.
Right.
Now, what are you, you'd be executed in these countries.
It's completely illogical. And for some reason, we've just had to accept that it's completely illogical. And they can't see past themselves. Confronted on the streets, how do you feel about this? You know the honor killings that are happening. You know all of this is still happening there.
Women alone.
They're treating women. You know, whatever. They don't answer. You know, it's silence because they really don't know. Either they don't know, or like you said, they're being paid to be there. There's a lot of different reasons why these encampments are happening. But again, my only saving grace is that it's opened the eyes, even of a lot of conservatives, to go, this is an issue we have to address. And it is not an issue that is should be split in terms of where your support lies.
A call out to our legal team from the ACLJ listened to the broadcast. And people have asked, like, what could they could do legally? I think one thing we want to do is maybe start filing some FOIAs on who is funding this. Who is paying for these people to be there? Because when the arrests have been made, they've said, like, 90% plus aren't students. They're all of their tents match. So is it a group like Students for Justice for Palestine, which has been kicked off some campuses? There's somebody formally behind this that's getting enough money to these people to be able to do this, to be able to hold these areas. And I think we can expose it through filing the right legal documents. It may be very early in the process, but I want our team already thinking about, so we can once and for all, when we finally get that info, tell you exactly whose money, who put the money behind this movement to condemn Jews and those who support the Jewish state of Israel.
Yeah, there will always be theories. There will always be thought. But we can actually maybe take legal action and actually find out who it is. Because when you have someone like that kid who was
they're
screaming,
part of a violent conspiracy. Yeah, I mean, the funders should be in trouble here.
Yeah, and the kids that were screaming death to all Zionists, remember he was calling from maybe there should be, you know, I've never murdered, but maybe I'm going to murder. That kid did get expelled or suspended, whatever, thrown out of Columbia. And I'm sure has been hopefully questioned by the FBI.
Yeah, right.
You'd think so. Then if not, maybe go do your job because you should, because this guy was calling for the death and destruction of a whole people group and saying, maybe, I'm not really a murderer, but maybe I could be pushed that way. We got a lot of calls coming in. I'd love to hear from you also. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We take as many calls as we can usually in the last segment. It is also the National Day of Prayer. Our ACLJ prayer guide is available. You have heard us talk recently about sort of the spiritual warfare we feel that's happening right now in this country. How's the best way you can fight against that? Pray for us. Pray for us and all the issues that we have, and pray for us individually. I would appreciate that. We are in a time of chaos, people, and we really could use your prayers. So again, pray for us individually, pray for the organization, and of course, pray for the issues that we're involved in. Let's go ahead and take a quick phone call. Which one do you want to go to, too? Let's go to Cindy in Texas, online, too. Cindy, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, with regard to what you were just saying, Senator Ted Cruz, on his Verdict with Ted Cruz podcast on Monday, laid out a whole bunch of information on who's paying what and what they're being paid. So you might want to check with Senator Ted Cruz from the great state of Texas. But my question is this.
We can do that.
With regard to the refugees and what Secretary Pompeo was saying, is there any way that Congress can stop the Biden administration from just blanketly bringing in these protesters? Can we reach out to our congressmen? What can we do?
Yeah, so I mean, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives really full power when it comes to immigration. That would include refugees as well from, you know, Gaza to Congress. But for Congress to use that power, they have to actually pass legislation. They can't just be a congressman that says it. You have to pass legislation in the House and the Senate. It has to be either signed by the president or the president vetoes it, and you've got enough members of Congress to override that veto. And they could then say, we're not taking in refugees from Gaza. Legislatively right now, I can't see that passing, not at those levels. And there's not enough votes for a veto override necessarily either. What you could do is start right now with a very public campaign, knowing that the administration is thinking about it, about why this is dangerous. You could hold congressional hearings. We've heard, Logan, from like Secretary Pompeo, you can't vet the people. If Egypt is scared of allowing these so-called refugees in, and they're not able to vet them, bringing them all the way to the United States is like importing more terrorism into the United States, potentially, because we saw those numbers. Like even at the UN Refugee and Works Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, 90% of their staff was connected to someone who was in Hamas. 10% of their staff were actually in Hamas.
That's what Secretary Pompeo was saying, was, look, there are, I'm sure, families that are wanting to get out. There are there are true refugees. The problem is vetting those refugees is nearly impossible. It's not even like Afghanistan. It's not like any of these other situations which were being overrun by governments. This is an elected government at Hamas. So you have to deal with that situation much differently. And again, when the surrounding Muslim countries are saying, we're not interested, you have to at least keep your eyes open to there's a reason for that. So maybe there is some answers that way. Again, we're going to be taking your calls coming up at 1-800-684-3110 in the next segment. I want you to join us on air. Do it right now. It is the National Day of Prayer. Encourage you to pray for us. As I said, you can get the ACLJ Prayer Guide. It's brand new every quarter. I got it right here. ACLJ Prayer Guide. It's available. It's beautifully done, incredibly written by our team. And it really leads you through all the different ways you can pray for the efforts of the ACLJ. And we encourage you to please pray for us individually as well.
You know, 150,000 people have downloaded that prayer guide. And we have hundreds of thousands of supporters. And I can just imagine the work of the ACLJ if 200,000 more of you download and go through that prayer guide about how our work can expand and continue to be even more effective and a more effective team. Because of your prayers for us. And we appreciate those of you who are praying for us. We'll be right back on Seculum. All right, welcome back to Seculum. We are taking your calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's get to our phone calls. First, those have been holding on. And of course, just to remind you as well, our ACLJ prayer guide available for you at aclj.org/pray. And we update that quarterly.
Yeah, so definitely do that. Get it at, you said, aclj.org/pray. I'm going to also encourage you right now, if you want to call in, this is the time to do it because we have about 8 minutes now where we take phone calls. We've got a few lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. Let's kick it off with Steven, who's calling in Arkansas, listening on the radio. Steven, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, listen.
Steven, we
have to come to understand. Listen, Biden, he don't even recognize he's giving more strength to Trump, which that's fine, because he's turned out to be, you know, not my choice of a leader.
Yes, but go ahead.
What I'm saying is that these people who sending their kids to these here colleges to get an education, sir.
Yep. We're still listening. I think I got what you got to say, Stephen. I'm sorry, I hate to cut you off. There's a train going on. It sounds like there's connection problems. But you said, I'll read what your statement was so you know. You said, a lot of Americans seem to have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. These protesters are confused about who the real enemy is and that Hamas started all of this. And, of course, he's talking about a lot of parents that paid for education, can't get that education right now. And we've actually said, hey, we're going to try to do something about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's potential there. We helped a lot of families during COVID. Who weren't being provided even the technology to do school
virtual from, learning.
You know, yep. Virtual learning. They said, we're going to do virtual learning, but you better have your own iPads and things like that. And you know, a lot of kids didn't have that. And their parents couldn't afford to do that right then. And we made sure that was taken care of for kids that needed IEP programs. What would happen to them during this a lockdown and closure of the in-person learning? And this matter, you've got, again, on college campuses, a lot of these schools that we're talking about are some of the most expensive universities in the country. Where they're just saying, oh, we'll go virtual for a couple of days. Remember, that's where Columbia started. We'll go virtual for a couple of days to a point now where I don't think...
Yeah, it was like, we'll go virtual for Passover.
Are they finishing everything virtual now?
Yeah, I think their whole rest of the year
graduation.
Is virtual. I'm not positive on that.
I mean, you would think
that,
at these other 25 states where this is going on, you're not going to have a lot of graduations either. I mean, there are issues. There's also real damages. I mean, if your student was injured, the threat of injury, you know, so if they were... the threat of being attacked because they were trying to walk down a path that they shouldn't have walked down, supposedly, because you've got police saying, don't go up that staircase. It's too dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's continue on. Let's go to Leon, who's calling in California. Online too. Leon, you're on the air.
Yeah, I would just want to address the same issue what he just talked about the lady, her daughter was able to go to school. But out here, we heard from Columbia, they were paying the Palestinian students to negotiate that they would give a free ride to them if they would not protest or stop the protest. So that's not fair. If they're going to pay them to not protest, then pay that woman's daughter that she cannot get an education, give her a free ride too, yes. A free ride.
Yeah, you'd think the demands that have come in have been extreme, and I'm sure there is a lot of stories that are going to come out, like Leon's, where people are, like Dick George said, we don't know who's paying a lot of these protesters, but we know a lot of them aren't students. And then you to be honest, you do have a lot of students. You do have a lot of students who believe this because they have been essentially force-fed a narrative about Israel.
Right. They're not all paid protesters.
No. A lot of times the paid protesters is what spurs the real people.
Right. They organize the students, and they also provide the materials or the supplies.
Yeah. You bring your body, we'll give you the mask.
And they'll say, we'll also provide you the attorney.
Yeah.
And cover your legal fees. Like, maybe it's the Students for Justice for Palestine. They're pretty radical on campus. There's some others. But again, that's what we need to look into. Also, is what Lee has it too, is like, what have these schools potentially ridiculously offered, and it obviously didn't work, for these people to disperse? Have they actually, offered things like free education,
free rides?
We're going to learn about that. We already saw a wave of university presidents go. I think we're about to see another wave.
Yeah, and that wave was they're chanting death to Jews, but not a specific Jew, so therefore it's protected under our Harvard.
And then look what happened.
Right.
So that's what I say.
Some of these education places are going, we can't believe this happened. And you're like, okay, let's take it back a week when you were like, they'll be fine. Let's take it back a month. Let's take it back 6 months, where every time you let it go because you felt like, they're doing the right thing. They're being able to speak their voice. They're being able to do it. And then all of a sudden it got to a point where they're overtaking a college campus, and eventually you got to call the cops to clear them out, because that's where everyone gets to eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, it goes to the point, like I said, with the politicians, when you have Joe Biden start condemning Israel, and Chuck Schumer for the first time ever is like, was calling for, you might not like Netanyahu's politics, but you do that quietly when it's your ally. You don't call for them to leave in the middle of a war. That's up to the Israelis. Their Knesset can do that. Their actions can take that. If you believe that, keep it behind closed doors. If they truly are an ally, don't. But for political reasons, they're going to toe this line, Logan, as long as they can, that they're somehow not fully behind Israel in Israel's response to the atrocities of October 7th.
Yep, absolutely. Let's take one last call. Mary's calling in New York on line 5. Mary, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm all for free speech, and I think that's one of the things our country does do well, except for this. They are not allowing free speech in the sense that they're hurting the Jewish students, the Jewish people, making it fear for their lives. That's not, if we were doing this and saying free speech for saying something against transgenders or LGBT or anything like that, they'd be stopped immediately. Why isn't it stopped for the Jewish? And my other thought is, all these campuses that the groups playing up for have the same tents, have the same people. I think it is definitely being paid for by somebody outside who has a political agenda.
It certainly has all Mary, it certainly has all the signs of that. Like we said, there are students that are doing a lot of this, but a lot of those have been egged on and encouraged by organizers that are well beyond this. And we've seen that even some of the college said, 90% of them, as Jordan said, 90% of the people protesting are not students at these schools.
Right. 90% aren't students. So you get what they do is they go on these campuses, they mix in with some students. These are professional protesters. They grab enough students, they get the cards, they get the access. And these are organizers. So these are organizations that have paid staff to go into these schools to start these student groups, anti-Israel student groups, and sometimes use faculty members as well, as we've seen during this. Even when faculty members have been fired or put on leave because of their horrendous statements, they've also encouraged these students. So there's kind of a second move on this. First, you have to get this under control.
Yeah.
But while that now begins, you want to start exposing the people behind this. I think if we can do that before November, and you can expose that these are the same groups that are funding the left. These are the same groups that are funding, the Biden type organizations trying to get liberals out to vote. It could be very powerful. I think people are rethinking a lot of their politics in these moments. And it's not because Donald Trump is on trial in New York. It's because of this extreme support of violence that we are seeing in our nation's top schools, top universities. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Logan, with the new prayer guide we release quarterly, people get that ACLJ.org/pray. I encourage you always to check out our website, and throughout the day, if there's other news as well, we come back and get it to you as well. Go to ACLJ.org. If you need our assistance, it's ACLJ.org/help, especially if you've got a student or you are a student at one of these schools.